this is Switch. I thought that I would try something a little different today. I have this book called Japanese Tales, which is unsurprisingly a collection of Japanese tales. And I got it when I was, you know, for a class at some point. And then I just held on to it. It's full of these really just sort of bizarre stories. They're all pretty short. And, you know, some of them are ghost stories. Some of them are humorous. Some are, you know, more like philosophical tales. But I thought I would go with one of the humorous ones. It has a punchline and everything. It's one of my favorites just because it's wonderfully strange. And it's called Two Buckets of Marital Bliss. And I apologize in advance for my mispronunciation of names and places and that kind of thing. Okay. Two Buckets of Marital Bliss. At a temple in Izumi province, each trip to the bell tower took the bellringer monk past a statue of a goddess. Everyone knew how beautiful that goddess was. Seeing her day after day was quite enough to drive every other thought from the monk's mind. He took to hugging the statue, pinching it, or even going through the motions of kissing it. In time, he dreamed he was fondling the statue as usual on his way to ring the bell, when suddenly, she moved. "My dear," said she, "I'm touched by your loving attentions. I'm going to be your wife. Go to Enomino and Harima on such and such a date, and I'll meet you there." The bell ringer awoke blissfully happy. He could still see her lovely face before him. The day she had mentioned seemed so far away. Feverish with anticipation, he could hardly believe the day would ever arrive. But when it did, there he was at Enomino, pacing impatiently up and down. At last he saw a radiantly beautiful woman coming toward him, dressed in brilliant colors. Could she be the one? He was trembling and couldn't bring himself to hail her. "How nice to see you here," she said when she got to him. "Now make us a house."
"How am I supposed to do that?"
"Why, there's nothing to it. You just get to work."
A man came up to them. "Who are you?" he asked. "What are you doing out here in the fields?"
"We're planning to live here," answered the monk.
"But we have no house. And I don't quite know where we're going to get one from, either. I'm wondering what to do."
"Say no more. You've nothing to worry about as long as I'm here. I'll get you your house built. Wait, and I'll bring some men."
The man was soon back with a good crew of workers. Each brought a joy store beam, and everything else they needed just kept coming while they worked. Some of the materials apparently belonged to the workmen themselves, while some seemed to have been purchased by the lady. At all events, a beautiful house quickly rose on the spot. Beside himself with joy, the monk led his lady in and lay down with her.
"I'm your wife now," the goddess reminded him. "If you love me, you mustn't get involved with anyone else. For you, I'm the only one. Remember that."
Even if she had been a perfectly ordinary woman he happened to be fond of, he would hardly have objected. But under the circumstances, he agreed with all his heart.
"Of course," he promised. "I wouldn't dream of wandering away from you."
"Thank you, my dear," said the goddess.
He began growing rice and found that the least plot he worked gave more than anyone else's whole farm. Every comfort was his now. And in fact, he was the richest man in the whole county. People came from far away just to ask for his help, and he always gave them what they needed. His herds of horses and cattle were vast. Finally, even the governor of the province began to defer to him and listen to his advice. After several years of this pleasant life, he had to go off for a few days on business to another county. While he was there, a retainer of his just happened to mention a very nice girl he knew of.
"You could have her come and massage your feet or something, sir," the retainer suggested.
"Well," thought the goddess's husband, "even if I start getting ideas, I suppose it doesn't really matter as long as I don't actually do anything."
"Fine," he said. "I'll try her."
The girl arrived dressed to kill. He had her begin working on his feet, but one thing led to another, and soon they were a lot more intimate than that. Not that he'd fallen in love with her, but he did keep her by him as long as his trip lasted. His business over, he got back home to find his wife looking very put out.
"You swore you wouldn't," she said. "And now you've gone and done it. How could you? I'm leaving. I can't stay here anymore."
He started justifying himself and making excuses, assuring her that she was still his only love. She, meanwhile, went to fetch two big buckets of whitish liquid.
"Here," she said. "I've saved it all since we've been together. You can keep it."
Then she vanished. It was, of course, all the semen he had ejaculated into his heavenly wife. Life was never quite the same for him after that, but he was still far from poor. He gave up being a monk for good and lived on simply as a prosperous farmer. The end.
I just like that.
"I don't want it anymore. You can have it."
It's like a little more extreme version of giving your ex back their CD collection. Anyway, I hope you liked that. Thanks for listening.